Welcome back. We're at episode 5 of, what are we called?
Have you forgotten already, Kev?
Two Geeks M2C, Two Geeks Movies to Comics.
It's been that long since an episode, has it?
Yeah, it's been a long week and a half or whatever it is since the last time we did one of these. Hey, come on. I had two cons in between, two major comic cons.
Absolutely. So did you get time to watch any movies?
Very few. But I got a few things in before I had to go, so.
Did you enjoy Eva Longoria at all?
Well, we'll get to that. Enjoy. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but.
Should we introduce our regular new guest?
Sure, why not?
Okay, hold on a second. Let's see if I can go find him. I think he's back from his taxi ride from last episode.
Ready?
Hey, intern, are you here?
Hey, it's Bob the intern. I'm here.
I think he's back for more abuse, personally. Okay, Kev.
Or he's back from abusing himself. Yeah, I don't know.
That's quite possible. What are we going to start with this week, Kev?
Well, we got plenty of movies here to start with. So why don't we go with a big Academy Award winner and go with There Will Be Blood?
Yeah, it was on. It was long.
Yeah. What?
You didn't
like it?
I love Daniel Day-Lewis. I saw this movie because of Daniel Day-Lewis, but. Other than after the first hour when they stopped explaining to me how oil was discovered in the early 1900s, I couldn't care less.
Okay.
I fell asleep. This was gnawing off boredom for me.
Really? Yeah. I got to say it was pretty dull.
Did you like him, though?
I did like it. I thought he was really... Well, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis is always good and certainly deserved the Academy Award. The movie itself, it was okay.
I thought it was phenomenal.
You
loved
thought the
it.
Movie was phenomenal.
No, he was phenomenal.
Okay.
Cinematography, I thought, was looked good.
Yeah, it looked great.
I just thought the movie was just boring.
Yeah, it was. I will completely agree with you on that. It was definitely a snore fest.
I wonder what Bob the intern thought of this one. Did you like this one at all, Bob?
I actually liked the movie. It's not my type of, it's not my usual type, but again, neither was Michael Clayton, which I guess you've already done or will be doing. It's an oil. He builds an oil company, but he makes enemies along the way. But it was really enjoyable for me.
That's disappointing to hear somebody enjoyed this movie.
Well, I tell you, Simon, it's like a milkshake. And I'm finished. it was good. I really did like the film on that level, the performance level. But, you know, the actual... I mean, he was such a despicable character, that guy.
Absolutely, he was.
But so was the priest, the kid that wanted to become a minister.
Come on, he's from Little Miss Sunshine. Give the guy... He can get talk much in that one. He was a mute half the movie.
I didn't see that film, so...
It was good. I like Little Miss Sunshine. So are we giving this thumbs up, thumbs down, thumb in the middle? Go rent it in the cab and hurry up? What do you think, Bob?
Bob the intern gives it a thumbs up.
I give it a marginal thumb up.
I'll give it a thumbs up just because of Daniel Day-Lewis. Without him, this movie I don't think ever got made. So I'll give it a thumbs up. Just watch him. Turn it off. Go do something. Come back. Watch the end.
Okay.
Watch an hour. Skip to the end. How about that?
Well, speaking of snooze fests, what did you think of Atonement?
Oh, my God. I was a Tony for watching this movie. I am sitting here going, why is this movie on? Why am I watching this? Do I even like these people? These people are plain. They're boring. Maybe I just didn't get it. I couldn't care less. Hurry up and finish. I hate period pieces normally.
Really?
And I hate bad period pieces even more.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you slightly. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was okay. I didn't care for the ending very much. But, you know, one of those surprise endings.
I liked the ending, actually.
But, you know, I did like the characters. I liked the two leads. And, you know, what's her name is very hot.
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley, yeah. You know, the girl from that pirate movie.
That pirate movie, arg!
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I thought Atonement was pretty good, actually. It looked great.
It looked great. So you think it deserved to win something?
Sure.
What? I thought it should win the Boredom of the Year award for getting nominated. Another one of these Academy snooze fest movies.
Okay.
Who cared?
Well, it definitely is an Academy type movie. It's like an old school Academy.
Exactly.
Chariots of Fire type of.
Dun, na, 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 na. Didn't that guy win for Music Box or something?
Sorry. I'm going to talk in slow motion.
Hello.
Oh. And Bob, what do you think?
I actually liked it, although it was depressing, but it was a good story. Vanessa Redgrave did a good job of it at the end, being her, Keira Knightley's... she turns into Keira Knightley's sister. That was mm-hmm. Period pieces, again, usually not my style, but I did enjoy it. Vanessa Redgrave turns out to be the writer of the story, and it was a surprise ending for me, but I enjoyed it.
Right. That was really insightful information you had there, Bob. That was phenomenal. So I guess we'll say Bob liked this movie. I think we're kind of getting that hint.
All right. So what's the whole round? Bob's a thumbs up.
I say Bob's a thumbs up. Me, thumbs down.
Okay, and a thumbs up for me. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I'm getting beaten down tonight, folks. Just destroyed.
Meatloaf would say. 2 to 3 ain't bad. So, all right. How about let's switch gears and go with something a little more actiony. How about 10,000 BC?
Oh yeah, I think I love 10,000 BC. Caveman retold the story of Moses and the Jews, but done caveman style. You just can't get better than this.
Really?
You didn't think they're fighting the Egyptians? I'm like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, you know, 10,000 BC. You know. No, it was just, you know what, if there was some caveman style stuff going on in there, it might be funny, but there wasn't. It was just not a good movie. It was just not.
Was there a script for this movie? Because I forgot to read the lines.
I think it was, I think this was actually a prequel to Stargate for some reason.
I was thinking the same thing. I thought it was a Stargate prequel. I'm like,
We prophesized a dude would talk to a giant cat. What the fuck? Oh, excuse my language. I'm sorry. That was, you know.
Boring.
Yeah.
Well, I think Bob fell asleep.
I wanted to read a book instead of watching this movie. 10,000 BC? Could have been done in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes? I think it took him that long to write the dialogue. This was awful. I give it a complete thumbs down. I have really nothing to say other than skip it. Just yeah. I can't even say it. It's so bad. It's just awful.
You know, this is, you know, blonde and blonder bad. It's really bad.
So are we going to put this on our list, folks, of worst movies?
It should go on a list of something, but it's not the worst movie I've watched this week.
No, it's not. It's pretty close, I think.
It's close, but it's no Cigar to Over Her Dead Body.
Come on. Eva Longoria is showing her hot acting talents.
Yeah, okay. Hot acting talents. You know, egotistical whatever. This was a vanity project from start to finish. The only saving grace is Paul Rudd as the grieving whatever. You know, the movie started off and I was in pain. I was watching it and going, there's a reason I don't watch Desperate Housewives. All right, she's attractive, but, you know, this kind of anal controlling person is exactly what I don't want in my own life. I don't want to watch her on screen. And then the movie just stops and starts and, you know, doesn't make sense for 90% of the film.
I couldn't understand the movie. I like how they found that actress looks exactly like Megan McCauley. Megan McCauley, sorry, wrong one. Doesn't matter, the redhead from that show I can't stand. Will and Grace.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sitting there going, is that her? No, it's not her. Well, she doesn't have a career anyway. Maybe it is her. So I had the IMDb at the end of this movie going, okay. This movie was on. It stars Eva Longoria, who dies because the giant ice pick statue falls on her.
And that was the best part of the film, when she died.
Actually, the best part of the film was Stephen Root did it, because I love Stephen Root.
Okay.
Stephen Root always makes me happy when he shows up.
Jason Biggs?
Oh, Jason Biggs. Why does he have a career?
He screwed a pie, man. That's why he has a career.
I think you're right. I think this pie screwing days are... Over. What else can we say about this? It was just bad.
It was probably the worst premise for a movie I've seen in a long time. I mean, this is like Ghost Dad bad.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely Ghost Dad bad.
She dies, and she comes back to haunt the woman that's dating her ex-boyfriend. So.
Well, she had to find her way, but in the end, she found it.
Yeah.
Had a nice ending.
More bizarre than a threesome with a ghost.
Come on. You got to have some new sexual situations for comedies now.
Yeah. This one didn't work. Sorry. Hey, did Bob the intern see this one?
No, Bob just looked at me when we were discussing the movies for the month. Bob said, I ain't seen that piece of crap ever.
Lucky man.
Two of your reviews, I think I want to see it. But I have seen similar movies before, one of which was an older movie. Based on the same premise, comes back as a ghost.
Does it have a name, Bob?
It does, but I can't think of it.
So really, we're discussing.
Not Heaven Can Wait.
Yeah, it could be Heaven Can Wait.
Or Ghost.
No, it couldn't have been Ghost. Ghost wasn't bad. Okay, Bob again.
Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Should turn on his mic occasionally if he's going to talk into it, but that's okay. Speaking of bad acting, let's get to, Star Trek VI, one of our old DVD vaults.
You jumped ahead to the digging in the
I have section. To if we're discussing. Okay, we can get back to that later. Let's discuss
Meet the Spartans. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war.
Let's get back then. Let's go to new releases.
No, Star Trek VI, man. You
Why is this
up.
Piece of crap ever made?
Well, I mean... Yeah, for Star Trek guys.
How drunk are these people in the theater?
Oh, I gotta go see Star Trek VI. I want to watch the septuagenarians wearing their Depends.
Could they make it down the street? Because I don't think they moved at all during this movie.
Well, I mean, poor Dr. McCoy. I think they just propped him up for his scenes.
Scotty looked like he was gonna blow a gasket. Oh, Captain, I will go find something to do again.
Captain, I'm having a hernia screwing Uhura.
It was awful.
All right. Well, first off, obviously you're coming into this from a different direction than Bob and I might have come to it.
Well, absolutely. You both enjoy this stuff.
Well, I mean, I've watched all the Star Trek movies, and as far as this one goes, it's not bad.
Are you telling me they're worse than this?
There are worse Star Trek films than this, like Star Trek V.
Well.
And what? Well, one is just boring. It looks good, but it's boring. And what?
I'm talking about the injured off mic, okay. Sorry.
And, two is great. Three is okay. Four is great. Five blew, and six was okay.
I don't know. How do you guys sit through these movies? Bob, can you explain to me how you can make it through this?
I actually enjoy them. I'm a closet Trekkie. What do you want? However, this was one of the better movies.
Let me tell you, you're not the closet.
And I'm not coming out of the closet either, if you're suggesting what I think you're suggesting. Anyway, well, you must have missed Christian Slater collecting his paycheck, as you say. Comes in, collects his paycheck, leaves. Bye.
Collecting paychecks? Kim Cattrall? Right. What was up with that acting ability?
Dude, she's kind of hot as a Vulcan. I like that.
Oh, my God. Why do people find her attractive? Can somebody help me here?
I don't know.
This movie is bad. Horrible acting. And the only person I like is Sulu. That's it. I can only put up with Sulu. Should have his own show. I can watch Sulu.
Captain Sulu.
You had to enjoy, though, Christopher Plummer. He devoured the scenes in what he played. As Kevin said, let loose the dogs of war. He really got into that role.
Well, you know, what was great about this film is that both Shatner and Plummer were Shakespearean actors who were part of the Royal Canadian Shakespearean Company or whatever it was, the one at Stratford.
That's right.
And they both used to be in plays together and be hammy and do Macbeth and Lear and all those films. So this was like old home day for these guys to just get together and chew up scenery. You know, Shatner as Kirk and Plummer as this general whatever. I can't even remember. It's been a while since I've seen him. But
Chang.
General Chang.
Yep.
I don't know if you
saw it or missed it, but his eyepiece, it had the screws in it were little Klingon symbols.
Yeah.
I don't know if you missed that little piece of trivia there.
Just a lot of detail.
Sorry, are we still discussing Star Trek? I started to nod off there. Yeah, really not exciting there. Okay, speaking of crap, how was Meet the Spartans, Kevin?
Oh, Jesus. Meet the Spartans.
I saw you sneaking in there.
Oh, man. I don't know what to say about Meet the Spartans. Except, you know, it's not as bad as Over Her Dead Body, all right? Because you know going into a film like Meet the Spartans, like Scary Movie and these other things, it's not going to be a great film. Okay, it's going to be kind of dumb, stupid jokes, toilet humor, whatever else. And this, like, why would someone says, why would you do a movie ripping off 300? You know, I'm losing it here. Talk.
You know what I mean? Come on, Meet the Spartans had a nice Starbucks joke. It had I don't know. I've heard of Blockbusters. It was just bad. It just never got better. I thought it was too weak. Just the jokes weren't funny.
No.
I was kind of like, oh, it's Kevin Sorbo. Great.
Yeah.
And they kept saying he was gay, not gay, and this, it was just dumb. Was Carmen Electra in this one? I can't remember.
Yeah, Carmen Electra was the wife of the king.
Oh, yeah, and she's screwing everybody.
Leonidas.
I don't know. I just thought this was equally a bad, bad, bad movie. I don't know much to say other than avoid it. Go rent Over Her Dead Body.
No.
Oh, wait, you can go rent Cloverfield now, my favorite movie of the year so far.
Cloverfield's great.
Yeah, Cloverfield's great. Look, let's go find some actors from high school.
Meet the Cloverfield.
And put them in a movie. It won't call it Cloverfield. Make lots of money because you losers will pay for it.
Yeah, okay.
Put me in that club.
Simon's not bitter.
No, not bitter at all.
No.
Now, speaking of hammy acting, how about Jumper?
Jumper with, young Darth Vader hopping around from city to city.
Yeah, talk about a great premise, but went nowhere fast.
Well, I get the feeling that someone saw those X-Men films, the second X-Men film with Nightcrawler, and said, hey, wouldn't that be cool to do a whole movie with a guy with teleportation powers?
That was a great premise.
Yeah, it's okay.
I thought they could have done a lot better job.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done. I had no problem with it.
I kind of thought it was a little slow near the end. I was kind of like, okay.
Now, I can't remember. This is a Bruckheimer film, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so it had that Bruckheimer nonsensical whatever. All right, I'll talk louder if you'd like. I'll talk slower and louder. I am not a human being.
Okay, folks. No. Kevin needs to leave the room now.
All right. Jumper was okay. I didn't mind it. Turn it down. Okay. All right, now I'll go a little lower. There we go. Is that okay?
Yes, you're perfect, Kevin. Can we talk about Jumper now?
I'm trying to. You keep interrupting me.
Sorry.
So talk.
Oh, Jumper. I just thought, why is Diane Lane in this movie? Can somebody help me out? Why is Diane Lane in this movie, Kevin?
Diane Lane? I don't know why she was in the movie. She was the mother of... Hayden Christensen.
She's in and out in 30 seconds. I'm like, okay. And how about when they kill people? Maybe we could see them kill some people. When the guy, the other jumper, the British jumper, mm-hmm. So like, oh, I killed one of those rebel guys hunting us down.
Yeah.
And I threw him all over. We don't see that. Why not?
I don't know.
Like, I want to. It's a movie called Jumper.
Make the film.
It needs more action. It needs some violence.
I thought there was some violence and action in it.
Like PG-13 action.
Sam Jackson was pretty good.
Sam Jackson's there for the paycheck like he is in every other
sure.
movie.
All right. I thought it was good, though. I enjoyed it. Well, I didn't love it, but I thought it was good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, if you say so. Right. I thought it was a little weak.
All right, so what do you think? Thumbs up or down?
Thumbs in the middle for me.
All right, I'm going to go with marginal thumbs up.
Okay, there you go. I'm comfortable with that.
All right.
We got one last new movie to discuss. Well, a couple more new movies. And two, I want to discuss the DVD classic and this one at the same time, we discussed earlier.
Okay.
So let's discuss the earlier one first, the one from the vault, just so it makes more sense.
All right.
Rachel Papers.
Yes.
Now, this is a movie, let's be honest, you own.
Yes.
I pulled it off your shelf and you said you have to see this movie.
Sure, yeah.
So I took it home knowing nothing about it, never heard of it, didn't even look it up in a movie database. It's not like me, but I still sit and watch it. Mm-hmm. I was into it for the. I liked the premise at the beginning. Oh, I read the back of the box just so I had some idea what I was looking at. And they're talking and punching in this chick, that chick. And I'm like, okay, this has premise. It's mm-hmm. going to go. I felt this movie fell flat in his face. Mm. I was very disappointed. It had me going at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it totally went in a direction I did not see coming.
Well, let me give a little background, right?
Okay.
So, like, early 80s, around the same time as all those other John Hughes picks comes up, this is an English picture. Or it's set in England, right? It's got James Spader, it's got Ione Skye, and it's got this English guy, who I can't remember, but he's in a whole bunch of... Dexter Fletcher. There we go. Bob the intern, he's got all the facts. And, you know, it's basically he's a pickup artist, or he's writing a book or something on how to meet women, and he meets this attractive American girl, and he falls for her, but she might have something going on with James Spader, and, you know, it's the geeky guy gets the girl kind of situation, and some weird stuff happens along the way. I enjoyed this. I thought he was fun. I thought his dialogue was energetic. It's 80s music, which is enjoyable at some level. Some parts were rough to listen to.
Bad 80s music.
And, man, Ione Skye, man, hot. Hot. That's all I can say.
So
at that time,
what's the background for this movie? That's really it. It's 80s.
It's 80s.
Typical teen comedy of the 80s.
Pretty much, with a little bit more nudity, I think, than usual.
Yeah.
So and always pleasant to see Ione Skye's cherries.
So you didn't find this movie just fell flat in the middle, just completely flat.
It is. It does wander a bit as he's trying to figure out. He pines for this girl.
Obviously.
Yeah. But I liked it. I thought it was okay.
Okay. Bob, what do you think?
I actually liked it, although I agree with it. It was slow at times. With a typical teen comedy, it had boy sees girl, boy wants girl, but this was had a twist. Boy uses computer program to attract the girl. But it doesn't count. That doesn't account for the female variable. I don't know if you either one of you caught the Eric Stoltz cameo, who is a friend of James Spader. Mm.
Who cares?
Who cares? I care.
He does his research. That's why he's the intern.
That's why I'm the intern. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you're here to go get me a Diet Coke, and I need another one, so I'll start walking.
I got you another one, actually.
Oh, you're so kind.
There's an extra right there for you.
So let's get back to this movie. So I'm watching this movie, and I'm kind of like, so he's supposed to be the specialist on this.
I did see Ione Skye nude, and
I sort of got, yeah, it's, I don't care.
Okay.
I just, I don't know. I found this movie fell flat. I like Jonathan Pryce a lot.
Jonathan Pryce was an interesting character.
And I always seem to enjoy him whenever I see him playing the crazy uncle.
Yeah.
But I just thought this movie would have a little more, like him picking up chicks, him telling us more. It sort of started off with that premise, yeah, and then totally went in a different direction I did not see coming.
Okay. All right.
And then at the end, I'm like, he is dating Ione Skye. He's really happy. Then he goes, oh, I guess it's time to move on in his British accent. Mm-hmm. And then he has sex, and then he goes, oh, she was really the girl for me. And in the movie, he loses her. I'm like, and then he deletes his whole computer file?
Because life is like that.
But his whole point of his life on the computer was to write a book on how to date women properly and how to get into them, how to be different all the time. Mm-hmm. So the movie didn't follow what it was told to do.
Yeah, because he didn't know shit. That's why he gave up. He figured, you know, life and experience, you can't just make it up or write a book about it. People are different.
I guess so. I just hate
life
this
happens,
movie.
Man.
So I'm giving this a complete thumbs down. Did not enjoy it at all.
Right. Well, I liked it, so I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
Thumbs up, marginal.
Okay, now I'm going to compare this movie. I know we had this discussion earlier, but I like to have it. Charlie Bartlett. Mm-hmm. I like Charlie Bartlett more than I liked Rachel Papers. But mm-hmm. Is this not the same movie or same kind of premise?
No, not at all. It was very different.
I thought it was spoiled rich kid trying to pick up chicks. It kind of reminded me of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it was. Well, it wasn't spoiled rich kid trying to pick up kids. I mean, it was spoiled rich kid trying to fit in.
Well, isn't kind of like in Rachel Papers, he's trying to fit in with women. So is Bartlett, though.
Yeah, but Bartlett's not about meeting women. Bartlett is about trying to fit in within the social structure of the school. And how he basically comes in and becomes the top of the food chain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very quickly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's about conquest, though.
But Bartlett was a smart guy who basically, came into the school and through various means moves himself up to being the man on campus.
Okay, Bob, I need an opinion here besides Kevin's. Am I totally off on what I'm thinking here?
You're a little off, but
you're always off.
I see what you're saying, and I see what Kevin's saying, so I'm going to go with my own opinion.
Boring.
Not boring. Good. It's actually, I actually give it a higher rating than I would with the Rachel papers, but just barely.
Yeah.
But the plot's been used before. Like you said, Rachel papers, it's been done.
Sure.
Now there's references that I have to give you. Hope Davis plays his mother. She was in Home Alone 2 as a French ticket agent.
Robert Downey was in it.
Who cares?
I do. Robert Downey's looking to be the new Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. This week. Iron Man.
This week, Iron Man's open. See, when we discuss Iron Man, you can relate to Charlie Bartlett. But what is Robert Downey Jr. here? He sits in his backyard with his little boat, blows it up, and he's the principal of the school. He's kind of just there.
It's about fitting in, too. The principal is trying to fit in, and he doesn't fit in. He can't find a space for himself.
Right, which is
alienates
fine.
Alienates himself from
everybody. So that's what this whole movie's about, so I missed it. About fitting in?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yep. You missed it.
I won't be the first time.
Go to lunch.
Well.
Okay, so we have really nothing else. So do we like it, dislike it?
I liked it. I thought Charlie... I mean, I have an affection for Rachel Papers, but I can see how Charlie Bartlett is a better film.
I thought Charlie Bartlett was an excellent film. I actually thought it was a little slow at times, but I think all these movies that you have to find yourself, it just takes a while for them to find themselves.
Yeah.
Probably 20 minutes too long for me, but actually I didn't mind Charlie Bartlett.
Sure.
I don't want to say rent it because it's not everybody's cup of tea. Read the back of the box, and if you like the back of the box, you'll like the movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. That's all I can say because it is about fitting in, and if you're the type that felt you had to fit in school, or didn't fit in school, rent it.
Okay.
I don't think Bob's fitting in at all tonight. He seems a little lost.
Tonight it's all about Bob trying to fit in. So, Simon, I see there's another one on your list here from the Video Vault.
Is there?
And that's the Big Lebowski, which I think you've written down here. The Big Lebowski. I mean, is that a Freudian slip or something?
Maybe. I thought, okay, let's get into this. I've
Big
never...
Lebowski.
This is one of those movies people have told me about for years. I have to see... I finally sat down and watched it. Wow. Phenomenal. Loved it. Want to watch it again. I don't even watch the commentary track. I want to watch the DVD extras. I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. Julianne Moore. I love the symbolism. I love his spaced out trips.
Yeah.
Dude, loved this movie.
Mm-hmm. You like Jeff Bridges?
Excellent. I've never seen him in a movie. Really seen him in a movie. I've seen him in other things. Thought he was always okay. Loved him in this.
John Goodman?
He was the best. Hey, give me a gun. I was in Nom. Movie's phenomenal. Go rent it. Actually, get in your cab. This is the cab movie for the week. If you don't own this movie, get in the cab. Go pick up Fight Club and go pick up Big Lebowski.
I thought it was okay. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I thought it was just okay at the time.
Me, it was confusing for me. The only thing I enjoyed it about it was the soundtrack.
That Kenny Rogers song was great.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I was wondering if the Coen brothers were on drugs when they made this one.
Like how could you not tell they were on drugs?
You know what? You brought up a good point. The Coen brothers. I really, to be honest, I am not a fan of the Coen brothers. And I don't think there's a single Coen brothers film that I love.
No Country for Old Men?
No, I don't love that. It's okay. I like No Country for Old Men, but I didn't love it.
This is from the guy that enjoyed Cloverfield, the Rachel
Cloverfield
papers.
Was great. But you know, just the Coen brothers, I've never really... Raising Arizona? Oh, awful.
Actually, I've never seen Raising Arizona. Yeah. So I guess I'll have to rent it now, and we'll have to discuss it at a later date. Okay. I love this movie. I think it was just phenomenally fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like on the DVD version how they add that little scene at the beginning, mm-hmm. which was kind of funny. which was in the movie, I guess. I don't think it was.
Which one was that?
They have this fat guy at the beginning discussing from the library, we recovered this movie and put it into English from...
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I don't know if that was in the original theater release. I don't think
like
so.
This podcast.
Yeah, possibly. But I didn't quite enjoy this movie.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, now, I'm going to have to add some trivia to it. You know I am. John Goodman? Okay, he makes you forget Dan in Roseanne. Because it's a departure from his character. But it's also a departure from his character in Coyote Ugly, which I don't know if either one of you have seen.
Oh,
why
Coyote
did
Ugly
you
is
watch?
Classic.
I've never seen Coyote Ugly.
I could give it to you. There's also Steve Buscemi. Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's good in all his movies.
Mm-hmm.
Julianne Moore's in it. And Sam Elliott, which I know, he basically came in and collected his paycheck, as you say.
How is this trivia, though, Bob, telling us who's in the movie?
Oh, I don't know. It's just, like, connecting movies to each other.
I see, like, hi-ho-hum, it's raining outside, like that kind of connecting?
Yeah, it's like that. It's like Simon... it's... Simon basically doesn't care.
I'm not saying I don't care. I was just asking a question. So, Kev, what do you think?
Sorry, what were we talking about?
Big Lebowski, thumbs up,
like
thumbs
Big
down.
Lebowski?
Yeah, Big Lebowski. Oh, he's beside me.
I didn't care for it. Sorry.
Okay, what is going on? You guys love everything I hate.
Because your taste sucks, man. It's just, what can I say?
Down, down, down.
So I don't think Bob liked this movie.
I know
movie.
A lot of people love this film. So I'll say there must be something that Bob and I just didn't get.
Yeah, getting out of the house might be part of it.
Oh. I don't think I was enough drugs. Oh, dude.
Dude, man, go out. Now, speaking of drugs, how does somebody watch Logan's Run?
Logan's Run, man. It's another classic. Run, runner. Sorry.
I am sitting here watching this going... I've seen references in Family Guy, in other movies, in conversations, in articles, so I figure I have to finally see this.
Mm-hmm.
What a boring, boring movie.
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things where if you didn't see it when you were a kid growing up on some cable station or whatever, you know, you probably just don't have that same affection for it that those of us who did have. So... You know, you didn't see it.
You're
so
saying
you're
I missed
the boat. You missed the boat, man.
I missed the boat. It was 1976, Kevin. I was 5.
Yeah, but I was 7 or 6 and a half when it came out. I didn't see it then, but I watched it on cable. I mean, they used to run friggin' anything on cable on Sunday afternoon. And I watched.
I think they still do.
Actually, it used to be a late night movie because there's some pretty provocative scenes, man.
I agree, but
Jenny
you mean,
Gutter.
Did you like this movie?
Another one. Yeah, I liked it. It's all right.
It's just bad. I just remind me a lot of Barbarella. See?
Oh, God.
Just
Barbarella.
Like, is this the...
No. Come on. Barbarella?
Two people repopulating the planet, and they get all their friends. And,
what does that have to do with Barbarella?
I don't know. I just...
Barbarella was Jane Fonda moving from scene to scene, and in every scene she lost her clothes.
Well, it's kind of Jenny Gutter in this movie, isn't it?
I mean, it?
It
was attractive, but, you know, the film itself was just a mess. This one had a plot. You know,
yeah. Did I miss it?
Okay, all right.
Break that down for me.
You know, I didn't watch it again recently. You did, and I remember the film better than you.
Oh, I remember the film.
The plot is basically that there are no adults in the society of the future. People die when they turn 21, right, or 30.
30,
sorry,
isn't
30.
It?
You see?
Yeah, I do remember the plot.
So they have crystals implanted in their body, so that you know, I guess at a certain point, they didn't trust people who are old or something like that. So kids are off in a certain area until they grow to a certain age. Then they move into the adult area. And then they just, like, throw themselves in a net and have casual sex and all sorts of fun stuff.
That was kind of interesting. I just dialed you up on the network.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was people put themselves into basically the internet.
Yeah, and go,
addictive,
I need,
you know, long before the internet existed.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's a sandman. One of the future police force that is assigned to shoot the people that decide to run, the people that don't decide to go into carousel, which is basically a way to euthanize the people who are 30 or above.
Yep, old farts.
So the computer that runs their city decides to activate his crystal so that he'll run and find and destroy Sanctuary, which is where the runners have, who escape end up going to. I mean, they learn along the way that no one has actually ever reached Sanctuary. And they escape to the outside, and in the outside world they run into Peter Ustinov and a lot of cats.
Yeah, that's true. They run into Peter Ustinov and a lot of cats.
And then his partner, who's upset the fact that he gave up being a Sandman, tracks them down, and I think he gets killed.
He does.
And then they go back, and they blow up the computer, and everybody's free, and the world's happy again. The end.
That is the end of the movie, I gotta admit.
Louder now.
Yes. Okay, I don't know. Watching this. I didn't care. I got to the end, I'm just like, eh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Jenny got it very hot, but I don't really care. And Peter Ustinov's got a lot of cats. Where's my, is that my father or my mother? I'm like, oh, God, who wrote this junk? Mm-hmm. I don't get
it. Dude, it's 70s science fiction, you know? Star Wars, this is pre-Star Wars science fiction.
I know, that's 70s. What upset me. I'm just like, Star Wars is a year later. How many science fiction fans do we lose to this movie?
Well, I mean, science fiction up to that point was, it had to be cerebral on some level.
I guess that's my problem. I just find it boring. But, I mean, what happened to 70s, 60s science fiction? Or maybe it was all fantasy. I don't remember science fiction. Planet of the Apes was
Planet
the first?
Planet of the Apes was sort of that beginning of that Rod Serling type of...
But I enjoy Planet of the Apes.
Awful science fiction.
I like Planet of the Apes.
With a message at the end. This is sort of the last of the Planet of the Apes type science fiction.
Okay, I can see that. I'll give you that.
Up to a point.
So I want to just go into a direct-to-video release that we were talking. I didn't realize you had seen already. So what did you think? Hold on, Bob the Intern's got something to say.
Charlie's Angels, Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, yeah, right, she was in that.
And unlike you two, I was a teenager by the time this movie came out. 1976, I must have forgotten what this movie was about. It wasn't the same. Maybe. If you're going to rent something better, but you can rent this in a pile of them. Put it in the middle.
Yeah, this is like a campy science fiction movie that you just want to, just so you've seen it.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I felt. That's exactly why I saw this movie.
And then I believe they're threatening to remake it with Bryan Singer directing it or producing it.
Oh, see, I love Bryan Singer. That's going to kill me. I'll have to sit through it again. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can, though.
But I'm sure he'll tweak it up a bit so it's more interesting for you.
I would hope so. Now, what did you think of Star Wars Family Guy? I didn't know you had seen this when we were discussing
it. Yeah, I bought it when it came out, and it's Star Wars with Family Guy characters.
I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, I could see that.
I
could see why you would think it was hysterical.
What did you think of it then, Kevin?
I thought it was, you know, just shoehorning stupid jokes into the Star Wars.
Absolutely. That's what Family Guy is. They shoehorn stupid jokes into their show.
Right.
So you're not a fan of the show, then?
I don't mind Family Guy when it's on, but I don't love it. It's okay.
I think it's the best show on the TV.
Okay.
I think it's hysterical. I thought when Obi-Wan Kenobi starts singing Time of My Life and dancing with Chris was hysterical. I thought when Peter's trying to get that couch onto the Millennium Falcon was absolutely hysterical. Mm-hmm. Also, I think they had fun with this, though. I think they really, like, everybody's seen Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, who really needs to sit through Star Wars again?
Boss, Luke.
Yeah, like, I think the creators just had fun with it. Just wanted to make a fun parody.
Okay.
Like, you didn't get that?
Well, no, I do. I think, obviously, these guys are fans of Star Wars, and they love their characters, and they made a movie which was basically Star Wars with their characters, doing their characters' humor and situational jokes.
I thought it was great. Absolutely hysterical.
I didn't hate it.
Oh, it sounds like you did.
No, I didn't. It was just sort of there. And I gather they're doing Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, awesome. Can't wait.
And they're going to do them one every year or something like that.
I can't wait. I wish it was out now. I love this one so much.
And by the way, the full title is Family Guy Blue Harvest.
I'm sorry. Family Guy Blue Harvest.
And I don't know if Bob the intern has it. Has he seen this one?
I think he has. Hold on.
I actually enjoyed it. Even though I'm not a fan of Family Guy, I watched it and I really enjoyed it. And going back to this title, Blue Harvest was actually a suggested, like when they were filming the movie, Star Wars, the first Star Wars movie. back in 1977. Was it Harvest? Something Harvest was what, actually a fake title.
Red Harvest was, I believe, the Red fake Harvest, title for Return of the Jedi.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Bob the intern better go do some more research.
Yeah. I was going to provide the information, but I wanted to see if Bob the intern had something in his cheat sheets about this. And he did. He lived up to his research. He got something going on.
So I'm just going to segue for a couple seconds here, Kevin. Just go over a few movies with Bob the intern that I know you haven't seen. So how was Strange Wilderness, Bob?
Strange what? Strange Wilderness? You actually wanted to see that? Strange Wilderness? Strange movie. I couldn't watch it. The picture...
So what you're telling me is when you see the movie poster and it's three guys smoking, you think it's a cartoon movie like I did when I wandered in.
Yes.
I like going those $2 afternoons.
Yeah, seeing when I passed on this one.
Let me tell you, folks, Happy Madison. I enjoyed Grandma's Boy. It was fun. It was about marijuana, which I love marijuana movies. I just think they're fun. They tend to be the biggest pile of crap I've ever seen. Urgus Born 9. I can't remember the other. Steve Zahn. I'm going, why do you still have a career? Who is giving you any money to show up in a movie?
Steve Zahn used to be good, though.
Used to be.
I thought he was okay in Out of Sight.
I have never seen Out of Sight.
Oh, you should. That's a Soderbergh film. It's good.
Okay. Well, I'm going to back this up. So what the premise of this movie is, Steve Zahn is an animal movie guy, and like they show his movies in the worst crap I've ever seen. And they got canceled, but they found some secret map, and they're going to save the show, and blah, that's the whole movie, pretty much. This is crap. That's all I have to say, crap. Don't rent it. Just burn a copy. Don't just take it off the shelf and light it and put people out of their misery. Bob, what did you think of this?
I couldn't watch it. It's, as I said, Strange Wilderness should be renamed Strange Movie. Ernest Borgnine and Harry Hamlin are both wasted. It didn't make sense. As I said, the title and the cover, nothing.
Okay. Speaking of thumbs down movie, or maybe thumbs in the middle at most for me, what happened
thumbs
to
up somewhere else?
What happened to Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Like, give me, come on, Ryan, you can do better. I keep watching him in these movies, like Blade 3. I'm like, he's not bad. Ben Wilder.
You know the good thing about. Who's the only good thing about Blade 3?
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and he makes these romantic comedies, definitely, maybe. I'm sitting there going, okay. Why is this movie 2 hours, Bob? Can you please tell me why?
I'd like to know that. The movie got lost. It's slow, and the pacing is off. Maybe he should find his inner Van Wilder, going back to a better Ryan Reynolds movie. Abigail Breslin does a good job.
I gotta admit, I really enjoy Abigail Breslin. I gotta give her credit.
Who is that, the kid?
Yeah, she's not bad. Again, she's making two
movies. I didn't see this movie, so...
I know, I'm just watching it, and I'm kind of like, Anna Fisher is really cute. That's all I can say about it. I keep going, wow, you're really cute. And I'm kind of like, oh, this movie goes along. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a quick premise. The little girl wants to know who his mom was, so he tells him a story about three women. Sorry, her mom was, and he tells the story of three women he knew. And again, I'm like, is this Charlie? You know what this movie is? This is
It's Charlie Bartlett.
It's the Rachel Papers. This is the guy from the Rachel Papers when he got older, because he tells you how he seduced each woman, how he met each woman, working on the Clinton campaign. He meets all these women, and this is how it starts. I'm like, this is, Bob, did you ever think about that until now, that this is the Rachel Paper guy, just older? Dexter, whatever his name was.
Mr. Fletcher. You're not giving enough credit to Rachel Papers. Definitely maybe, definitely not.
There you go, Bob. Bob did not really like the Rachel Papers. So, we only got one more movie, folks, and then we'll be quick with our movies this week. Oh, hold on. Bob the intern's bugging me.
Besides Isla Fisher, who was in Wedding Crashers? Elizabeth Banks has been in a few movies, including this movie, and she was in a better movie than this, Fred Claus, which I thought was a good movie.
I heard Fred Claus. I didn't know that.
I haven't seen Fred Claus.
I actually, you know, I'm a sucker for Vince Vaughn and Paul Giamatti, so I won't see anything with either of them in it. Elizabeth Banks, so I'm actually looking forward to that new Kevin Smith movie, The Making of Actually, I'm sorry, I can't remember the title right now. Well, last movie that we know Kevin didn't see because he was away at too many conventions recently. What did you think of Bank Job?
Bank Job? I didn't really enjoy Bank Job. It really is.
What? Bob's looking for his notes. Bank Job, I read articles saying, oh, you got to see this. It's a new heist movie, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, okay, I like Jason Statham. Wasn't really on my list of movies to see, but People Magazine gave it a 5 out of 5. I'm like, really? Okay. And everybody seemed to like it. Oh, my God. What a boring movie. Based on real life, I'm sitting here going, you can't tell me this is 5. It was good. It was on. Wasn't amazing. It was okay. I thought it was kind of, I liked the premise, but it was like a real life story. If I'm watching a heist movie, it should have a better heist or more thing in the heist. Not three guys breaking into a jewelry store by going through another jewelry store to stop some guy. I can't remember the guy's name. It doesn't matter. I just thought this was disappointing at times. It didn't live up to its hype, I read.
Actually, I agree with you on the premise. It was good, but it was been done before and much better. The Inside Man being an example, and portion of Die Hard 3 when they break into the gold depository. There's an actress, Saffron Burroughs. She was okay in her part. She's also been in movies like Faye Grimm, which I admit I haven't seen, and in Boston Legal.
Hold on, did you forget her in Troy?
I haven't seen Troy.
Kevin, what do you think of Saffron Burroughs? I'm just fine. She's there.
Yeah, I. You know what? I know the name. Nice, good name.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. She's in it. Like, Bank Job, I give it thumbs in the middle. I didn't think it was that good.
Ah, there we go. Jason Statham was the actor that you're thinking of.
Yeah, but you mentioned his name. Simon mentioned his name, yeah.
Bob, thumbs in the middle, thumbs up your butt. What's the decision here?
Thumbs down.
Okay, there we go.
I'm glad I didn't see it because In the Name of the King has just completely turned me off of ever wanting to see Jason Statham in a movie ever again.
Don't you remember Crank?
Oh, God. Please, don't remind me of these things.
Okay, I won't. Now, how's the...
I have fonder memories of Blonde and Blonder.
How are your graphic novel reading going this month, Kev?
Well, all right. Why don't we, you know, talk about the fact that, Simon, you didn't read a graphic novel.
I forgot. Slipped my mind.
Yeah, this is just how important it is. I got to watch a million movies. But he can't sit down and read one graphic novel. It's like he's got ADD or something like that. Anyway, you did read something.
I did read something,
and so
yes.
Why don't we talk about that first before I get into my class?
Maybe that's why I didn't read a graphic novel, because I was so confused by Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
Like, I got to tell people out there, I read 2 Marvel books a month. I read Uncanny X-Men, don't ask me why, because I couldn't even tell you. If you put a gun to my head and said, we shoot you, if you don't give me an answer, I couldn't give you an answer. Maybe because I have every issue from 1 up. I don't understand it half the time. I'm lost half the time. I'm a completist. And I read Ultimate Spider-Man, which is boring the crap out of me. But I said, no, Marvel crossovers, I usually like them. The big events. Am I confused here? Should I have read all the Avengers for the last 2 years to get this book?
No.
Like, was I supposed to know Dum Dum was a Skrull?
Well, actually, no. You know, there was an online preview comic that preceded this issue. And in it, it was revealed, and just to confuse us even more, do you remember the Countessa Vanessa something or other that works in S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
The woman with the, like, the Bride of Frankenstein hair.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Who was doing Nick Fury.
Yes, that's okay, his girlfriend.
Nick Fury disappeared a couple of years ago in the Marvel Universe after something called the Secret War. He found something out which led him to go underground. So he hasn't been around. Dum Dum has been, the right-hand person to whoever's running S.H.I.E.L.D., and for a while it was... S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Mariah Hill, and then after the Secret War, or not the Secret War, the Civil War ended last year, Tony Stark has been running S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm aware, with 3 Iron Man books.
Right, and there's something called the Sword that is in space, which is where the story starts off.
Yes.
Okay, so on the Sword, Dum Dum is sent up there on a mission. But what we see in the online preview is that when Dum Dum went to meet the Countessa, before he goes up to Sword, she knocks him on the head, and it turns out she was a Skrull. and she replaces Dum Dum and goes up into the sword and blows it up.
So because I didn't read the online preview, I missed that whole secret
You missed one. That Dum Dum is still alive somewhere, unconscious.
Okay.
And that the Countessa was a Skrull, who later became Dum Dum.
You know what? I need somebody to explain this. But I'm sitting here watching. And how does Jarvis become a Skrull?
All right. So what's happened is, okay, is that at some point in the past, okay, after they showed there's a series called New Avengers, The Illuminati. And in the very first issue, it showed that after the first Kree-Skrull War in Avengers, the five major think tank guys in the Marvel Universe, like Reed Richards, Tony Stark, Black Bolt from the Inhumans, Doctor Strange, Namor the Submariner, and Charles Xavier from the X-Men. They all went to the Skrull home planet to tell them to stay away from Earth. And right. When they were there, I guess they set off a vendetta with the Skrull Emperor, and he decided that Earth was going to be theirs, and they have a divine right to it, and so on. Now, since the years have happened, this is like Marvel History 101 here. Over the years, Galactus ate the Skrull.
That I do remember.
There was a an escape of air. And sorry, that was the Galactus eating the homeworld.
I got it.
Suggestion.
I know it was a joke.
So the Skrulls have been training to replace Marvel heroes.
Okay.
Okay. Now, at some point in the past, the Skrulls did land and started replacing characters with their own agents, okay?
And Jarvis was tops on that list?
And what they did was they anywhere where they could replace a character without people noticing, like so they say anywhere you've seen a character who's shown up again and reinserted themselves into the Marvel Universe as a major player, there's a good chance that they might be a Skrull. Now, this is great. Maybe it explains the fact that Bendis decided to revive all of the 70s characters that everybody didn't want to see.
Night Nurse?
Night Nurse being one. Another one would be
Spider-Woman.
Luke Cage, Spider-Woman, Ms. Marvel. All these characters that had this faded off into obscurity have now been revived and become major players again in the Marvel Universe.
I get it.
Okay, so what's happened is Elektra, in a new Avengers issue, was revealed to be a Skrull. Okay, they killed her. She reverted to be a Skrull. Now, that makes sense because Frank Miller killed Elektra.
Yeah, I remember. Right?
And
I
then
read
she
that
came
book.
Back from the dead.
Right.
And nobody could figure out why would Marvel be jackass enough, like, why would they be jerks enough to revive a character that Frank Miller wanted dead?
Oh, they brought back Bucky, didn't they?
Yeah, but they did that well. Yeah, they have.
All DC is ridiculous.
Okay. So they've been thrown off, and then it turns out Black Bolt was a Skrull. He'd been replaced at some point.
Black Bolt.
Black Bolt from the Inhumans. Yeah.
I must have missed that. I
that was in Illuminati number 5.
Oh, not in Secret Invasion.
No.
No wonder I'm so lost.
Okay. They actually released a primer issue that was free that you're supposed to get at your store.
I think I have it in the pile, and I think I just missed it because I was talking to somebody who gave me my comics, and that's why I hadn't read the primer.
Okay. So there we are. We're at New Avengers. Some characters have been replaced by Skrulls. We don't know who they are. And then they all gather at the beginning. There's an autopsy. They're looking at the Elektra Skrull body. And
No, I remember this part.
All right, so you have more questions, right?
No, that's it. That was my big one.
Okay, so
now
what
I
did
understand.
You think of Secret Invasion now that I've given you the
book? I loved the book. I was just lost.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm the Skrull. Did I miss that? And some people are telling me all this stuff. I just missed it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was too late at night when I was reading because I choose to read my comics.
Yeah, I mean, without all the backstory, the basic premise is that certain characters have been replaced by Skrulls, but we don't know who.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Now okay. I get it. I like the book. I didn't have
and
an issue with it.
Nobody knows who to trust.
Why? Okay, that's fine.
So you thought it was a good read?
I thought it was great.
Lanil Yu's artwork?
I liked everything about the book. I actually thought Lanil Yu has improved immensely over when he first started doing Wolverine way back when. I love his pencils.
Now, a lot of people really hate his work these days.
Oh, see, it's not Billy Tan. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hate Billy Tan. Watching his artwork.
You didn't see Billy Tan. I like Secret Invasion. I thought it was a nice start. I thought it was a better first issue and a more enjoyable read than anything that was in Civil War.
That's true. I hated Civil War, actually. I thought it was pretty boring.
And, you know, I thought there's an interesting twist when all those characters emerge from the ship.
That was cool.
And it's like basically like your 70s Marvel Universe, 70s, early 80s Marvel Universe. Yep. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see who is a Skrull and who's not.
Well, we'll see what goes. What'd you read, Kev?
All right, well, you know, seeing as I'm like the associate coordinator of the Joe Shuster Awards, I thought, and, you know, voting is available online at www.joeshusterawards.com, I thought I would talk about two Canadian releases that I really enjoyed. Neither one is up for an award, but I thought I'd bring that up. Well, actually, one is sort of. The first one is a book by the sisters Mariko and Jillian Tamaki called Skim, and it's published by a company called Groundwood. And this was originally published a few years ago by Kiss Machine Publishing, and I can really recommend it. It's about a young girl named Skim and her life in high school and, you know, becoming a young adult and, you know, some of the things she encounters. I would really recommend checking that out if you want a different kind of alternative graphic novel. Definitely not for your standard superhero crowd. But the artwork is really nice and clean, and the story is interesting enough. It's black and white, and I put the dust jacket on backwards. So that's a thumbs up for me, and one I'd really recommend if you're looking for... If you like biographical graphic novels, I recommend this one. Another one, which is done by a friend of mine named Scott Chandler. It's called The Annotated Northwest Passage, and it's published by Oni Press. And I got to say, this is a fantastic book. The cover of this volume is actually nominated for Best Cover by a Canadian for the Joe Shuster Awards. Anyway, it was a three-issue book published over the course of 2006 and 2007. By Oni, and this is the collection, and it comes with Scott's notes on different scenes and what he was trying to get across and so on. But I really recommend it. So it's, if you like historical novels, it's very good.
Can I get these at my comic store, or do I have to go to Chapters?
No, you can actually get them at Chapters Indigo or your local bookstore or at your local comic store if they're a good comic store.
That's good.
So, you know, I really, really do recommend Northwest Passage, and Skim is actually getting on a lot of people's must-read lists for...
Okay, maybe I'll check it out then.
It's just,
maybe I'll have a graphic novel for the next one.
You know, yeah. I mean, it would be worthwhile for either of you guys or any of our listeners to go ahead and check these books out. We really have a lot of fantastic and talented Canadian comic book creators.
Absolutely.
Graphic novel creators.
I agree with that.
And these are two of the best, I think, that are out there, recent releases.
What do you think of our discussion topic this week, Kev?
What's that, talking while people are talking during the podcast?
No, talking during the movie. It drives me nuts.
And me too, actually.
I'm more referring to those guys who pick up their cell phones.
Oh, and talk during movies at the movie theaters.
Oh, yeah, I'm sitting there, you know, I remember this distinctly during Pink Panther with Steve Martin, which I'm still trying to forget. Guy picks up the phone and has a conversation. I'm paying money to see this.
In the movie theater?
In the theater, right beside me.
You know what? I've been in movie theaters where people's phones have gone off, and they're like, oh, shoot. I mean, I try and silence it or turn it off.
Right, which is, I understand. But, I mean, yeah, they do tell you now, before the movie starts, turn your damn phone off.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off to know when they don't.
Yeah.
Well, and then when they have a conversation, I go berserk.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one of these people get up and go, hi, can you turn your phone off?
That's, you know what, to be honest, the phone thing, I mean, I've heard beepers and buzzers go off and so on, but I haven't actually seen someone have a conversation in the movie.
Oh, this guy had a full conversation and not for long until.
Are you talking at a normal level or do you whisper?
No, it was a normal. I don't care if you're whispering. It bites me. Like, shut up.
What really bothers me is when I'm sitting in a movie theater and, you know, all right, you know what, we're all in the same boat when we go to a movie theater. What's happening on a screen is what we are all experiencing at the same time.
Right.
I hate the people that need a commentary while the film is going on. What just happened? I don't understand. Oh, my God. These people always end up sitting right behind me. And they always kick the back of my seat, too. And I hate that. I really hate that.
I actually hate it too, because there was one movie I was in, and this is the first time I've experienced it. The guy was two rows ahead of me, and he starts yelling at the theater, or the screen, or because of the character. And I think the one was No Country for Old Men. That was the movie. And I said, and I actually, and this is the first time I've ever done this in a movie theater, I said, shut up! Because he was just being obnoxious. So I said, shut up, and he kept on doing it, and then other people complained about him as well. So I agree that there shouldn't be people talking in the movie. The cell phone part, I can understand because maybe you forgot to turn it off. But I agree with both of you in a way, because I said, like, I don't want to listen to a cell phone when I'm watching a movie.
I think I remember experience with you, Cav. We were watching Shaft at a sneak preview, and remember the guy with the chick that wouldn't shut up 3 rows behind us?
Oh, vaguely.
Yeah, I got up and looked at him and said, do you mind shutting up?
Yeah. That's a good thing about seeing a movie with Simon, is that he really actually... Simon is one of those people that has no inhibitions. There's no inner voice that says, don't do that. Okay, so, you know what? Like, someone's talking in the movie theater... fucking people talking in the movie theater. Sorry about the language. And next thing I know, he's like, shut the fuck up.
Listen, it's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
I'm paying money to see this. I didn't pay money to hear you go, oh, do you want to go to Mr. Greek for dinner? Oh, maybe you should go Jack. Who cares? Have this conversation before or after, not during.
You know, send each other a text message.
Oh, no, the phone will beep. They'll drive me nuts, too. They might pick it up.
Hand signals.
Yeah, hand signals, which is fine. Do you have anything else to mention this week, Kev? I'm good.
No, I think that's pretty good, except that we are heading into probably one of the most interesting movie months of the year.
I can't wait for Iron Man.
Iron Man looks great. I'm going to go see it on Friday night. Can't wait.
I'll probably see it next week, Tuesday.
What about, what else is there? Speed Racer?
Looks amazing, what I've seen.
Yeah, Bob the Intern, no, I'm not interested.
No, not at all. I looked at the previews and I just can't watch it.
Oh, come on, it's Wachowski Brothers.
The who?
The guys that did the Matrix trilogy.
Believe it or not, I've never watched The Matrix except for about 10 minutes.
You haven't seen The Matrix. Okay, you know what, Bob, your mission...
Your mission is now to see The Matrix.
The Matrix in the next week. You can get it anywhere for like $5.
I'm sure you can. Oh, my God. Indiana Jones... Absolutely.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Can't wait.
Yeah. I was, you know what? I didn't realize that was Cate Blanchett in the wig.
Yeah, it's Cate Blanchett in the black wig.
She looked pretty good.
Cate Blanchett's a good actress. Get over it.
Yeah. She's great.
Look,
I'm a fan of Cate Blanchett because there was a movie I saw at the Australian Film Festival, which was here. Cate Blanchett was in a play with... and I can't think of his name at the moment, but... She was an employee. They actually showed it, and I'm actually a fan of hers.
That's fascinating.
Well, I mean, I like Kate from the Elizabeth movies. Those are great.
Yeah, one of those days, I promised you I'd watch them.
Yeah.
In my pile. Well, that's it for me. I'm Simon.
Bob the Intern.
And, my name's Kevin. I'll talk to you soon.
Good night, and farewell.